Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. As we pointed out in a recent program regarding the Revelation timeline, we believe this year has been a Shemitah year, or the seventh year in Yahweh's seven-year cycle, and that it is quite possible that this next year is the Jubilee, or year of release and return. Mark Biltz is the one we have heard suggest that this next year is the Jubilee year. While he bases that on the Jewish year being divisible by 50, which we don't necessarily agree with, but we do believe, based upon patterns, current events, likely near future events, and signs in the heavens, that it is quite possible that he is correct. Today we are going to look at scriptures which explain the significance of both the Shemitah and Jubilee years, and then we will explore the possibilities of what this may mean to Yahweh's people if we indeed are entering the Jubilee year this Yom Kippur. How are we to acknowledge, signify, and honor Yahweh in the Jubilee year? What should we do, and also what should we be very careful not to do once the Jubilee year has arrived? First of all, let's look at the Shemitah year, which is the seventh year in Yahweh's seven-year cycle, just as the Sabbath day is the seventh day in a seven-day cycle and is pictured at the very beginning during creation in the book of Genesis. Just as the Sabbath day is the day of rest, the Sabbath year or seventh year is a year of release, as Yahweh calls it in His Word. Shemitah, or H8059, from root H8058 in the Strong's, means release, remission of debt, or suspension of labor, and the root infers to fling down, incipiently to jostle, figuratively to let alone, desist, or remit. The uses in the King James Version include discontinue, overthrow, release, let rest, shake, stumble, throw down. So first, let's read Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11 about the Shemitah year, or the seventh year, the year of release. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. Then Deuteronomy chapter 15 is the instruction that governs the seventh or Shemitah year in detail. So starting in verse 1, I'm going to read the highlights of Deuteronomy 15 that I believe are relevant for the discussion that we're having today regarding the Shemitah. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and the word release there is Shemitah, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called Yahweh's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed to you by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For Yahweh will greatly bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you to possess as an inheritance, only if you carefully obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For Yahweh your Elohim will bless you just as He promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to Yahweh against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. So let's stop there for a minute at verse 11. where Scripture stops speaking about lending to your brother and releasing debts in the seventh year. And the next verse, verse 12, goes into if your brother is sold to you and serves you 6 years, releasing their servitude debt. I want to look at the money debt that you're supposed to loan to your brother first. And I'm going to read from a Jewish website, Chabad.org, that talks about how ancient Israel, starting about 100 years before Yeshua Messiah, dealt with this Shemitah year and how they made up a rule to circumvent the release of debt in the Shemitah year. And then we'll look at Scripture where Yeshua talks about oppressing the poor, and I believe possibly he is speaking directly to this circumvention of the year of release that Yahweh enacted and said, you shall do. So first, let's start with the Chabad.org article entitled, What is Shemitah? As soon as the Jews settled in the Holy Land, they began to count and observe seven-year cycles. Every cycle would culminate in a sabbatical year known as Shemitah, literally to release. The year following the destruction of the Second Holy Temple was the first year of a seven-year sabbatical cycle, which would mean the year that the Second Temple was destroyed in 70 AD would have been the Shemitah year, which totally makes sense to me because the Shemitah year is the year of release, and that's when the temple was destroyed, which, since Yahweh is so well ordered, it makes sense that that is the year that the temple destruction would occur. So, in the Jewish calendar, counting from creation, this was the year 3829, says this article. 68 to 69 CE on the secular calendar. So I guess it was destroyed in 68, 69 rather than 70, but it would have been 70 years after Yeshua was born. He was probably born prior to 1 AD, probably born in 1 BC or 2 BC, something like that. So back to the article. By counting sevens from then, we see that the next Shemitah year will be 5782 after creation, which runs from September 7th, 2021 through September 25th, 2022, because these Shemitah years and Jubilee years end with the fall feasts and begin with the fall feasts. We know that the biblical calendar ends and begins with Nisan 1, or the first month being the month of Passover. However, it is scriptural in Scripture that the changing of the Jubilee year, the declaration of the Jubilee year, and the Shemitah years occurs on Yom Kippur or during the fall feasts. They have it here occurring on the Feast of Trumpets. So with that background, and knowing that it is very likely that we are in the Shemitah or seventh year, let's read what the Jews approximately 100 years prior to Yeshua started to observe in order to circumvent the release of all debts in the Shemitah. For that, we're also still on Chabad.org, but we're going to the article entitled Shemitah Loan Amnesty Prusbul, where the question is asked, I understand that every 7 years is a sabbatical year during which Israeli farmers give their fields a break and all debts are canceled. How does the debt thing work? What happens if someone owes me money? Am I really obligated to let it slide? Also, I've heard that there's something called Prusbul that somehow circumvents the law. What's up with that? In answer, they say, good question, let's start at the beginning. And then they read the scriptures in Deuteronomy. This tells us that part of the observance of Shemitah, the Hebrew term for the sabbatical year, is the forgiving of all loans. Any debts that are unpaid at the conclusion of the last day of the Shemitah are canceled. Even if a borrower wishes to repay his debt, the lender may not accept it unless he reminds the borrower that the debt has been canceled and the borrower still insists on giving him the money as a gift. Indeed, it is considered praiseworthy for a borrower to do this. At the same time, the Torah forbids us to refrain from lending money for fear of Shemitah canceling the loan, and commands us to lend happily despite the possibility that we may not be paid back. So where does this leave the modern lender and borrower? How is someone supposed to lend money knowing that the debt will be wiped out in just a few years? The problem has been around for over 2,000 years. In the first century BCE, Hillel the elder saw that people were avoiding giving loans as the Shemitah year neared, which is definitely against the command of Yahweh, as we just read in Deuteronomy. This posed two problems. The wealthy were transgressing the Torah prohibition against withholding loans out of fear of Shemitah, and two, the poor people who desperately needed loans had no way to procure them. He came up with a novel solution. Hillel noted that the Torah tells us that only private debts are canceled by the Shemitah. He shall not exact from his friend or his brother. If, however, one owes the court, i.e. the community, money, Shemitah does not affect the loan. Based on this rule, he instituted the prusbul, a mechanism by which debts are transferred to a Beit Din, or religious court, by making prusbul, you make your private debts public, and therefore redeemable. However, I don't remember reading anything about public debts being redeemable as opposed to private debts. But let's keep reading. The Talmud explains that nowadays the Shemitah loan amnesty is no longer in effect according to biblical law. Thus, since the Shemitah that we observe today is a rabbinic injunction, Hillel was empowered to circumvent these laws due to pressing need. Okay, so we see that their solution back 100 BC before Yeshua was to transfer all private debts to a religious court, making them a public debt that the public could then require payment for and then pay to the private person who transferred the debt to the public. I think these are the laws that Yeshua was speaking to when he said, you make the Torah of none effect through your traditions of men. Through your laws of men, you make the Torah of none effect. But let's read some other scripture where Yeshua talks about the oppression of the poor. And if you listened to our last two programs regarding Elul, the 40 days of repentance leading to Yom Kippur, and the type of repentance that Yahweh requires or Yahweh loves is to quit oppressing the poor, the fatherless, and the widow. And so I believe this loophole was part of the oppression of the poor, the fatherless, and the widow by not forgiving the debts and not lending near the Shemitah year to the poor and those in need. And then subsequently coming up with the prusbul law that says you can still collect the debt if you transfer the debt to the religious court. They will collect it for you and still give you the payment of the loan during and after the Shemitah year. The only place in the New Testament where I found anything actually about lending would be Luke 6, 34 and 35. And I'm going to start reading in 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So this was Yeshua's solution to lending to the poor only when the Shemitah was far away, or using the prusbul to get your money back. His solution was, don't lend, just basically give it to them. Assume that it's a gift, and if you get your money back, great. But give to the poor and those who may not be able to pay you back, hoping for nothing in return, and then you won't be disappointed. And so then we can see all throughout the rest of the New Testament and what Yeshua taught, he actually taught to give to the poor. When he was talking to the rich young ruler, said, what must I do to be saved? He said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. So Yeshua did not teach lending. He actually taught giving to the poor, hoping nothing in return. But then a righteous poor person would certainly want to pay you back. And if he did pay you back, great. But if he didn't, don't worry about it. In the Shemitah year, release it. Go on. Consider it a gift to the poor, a gift to Yahweh. So that is the New Testament solution to an Old Testament quote-unquote problem that they solved by transferring all debts to the religious court, to the community, so that they could still be collected. Yeshua's solution was, just give it to them, hoping for nothing in return. And if you did get it back, great. But if not, release it in the year of release as a gift to Yahweh. Okay, back to the instructions for the Shemitah in Deuteronomy chapter 15, continuing in verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the 7th year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you with, you shall give him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim redeemed you. Therefore I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a doubled hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all that you do. So then if a poor person doesn't come to borrow from you, but instead he is sold to you by another person who collected a debt from him, or he owed you a debt and so he offered to come work for you and be your servant for 6 years instead of repaying the debt, or the other person sells him to get their debt back, then this Hebrew man or Hebrew woman who is sold to you serves you 6 years and then is released. And it doesn't specify here that if this person is sold to you in like the 5th year of the Shemitah cycle, that he only serves you for 2 years and then you let him go free at the end of the Shemitah. However, to me, it would be inferred that that would be the case. But here it says he does serve you 6 years. So I assume then maybe you could start counting the 6 years. Again, this is nitpicking the law. What is the intent behind the law? Certainly, if this person wants to work for you for 6 years, then you should absolutely allow him. And then you give him 6 years worth of severance pay at the end of the 6th year. Whereas the forgiving of loan debts says it's at the end of the 7th year. So a person is only supposed to work for you 6 years and then you set him free in the 7th year with severance pay. But the lending of debts is supposed to be forgiven at the end of the 7th year. Again, if we look at this in light of the New Testament teaching, basically the whole point is be generous, be kind, help your brother out. Give him a hand up, give him a job, and if he works for you well and serves you well, then help him with some severance pay. That was the whole point. It was so that people who didn't know how to manage their affairs or maybe didn't have a skill could come and work for you and learn and then get a head start when they left you with their severance pay to go out and make it on their own so that they could then in turn be a blessing to others as well. And lastly, specifically regarding the Shemitah year, we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13, which instructs us that the entire book of Deuteronomy should be read in the hearing of the congregation during the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the Shemitah year. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, or the Shemitah, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. And if you go back up in verse 11, where it says, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing, it actually says, Ha Torah Ha Zat, which means the law, the this. So I believe that means specifically this Torah, the Torah of Deuteronomy, the law, the this. So it would be this one specifically that should be read in the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of every Shemitah year, not the entire five books, but the entire book of Deuteronomy. So that is the Shemitah year, a year of release when we are to let the land rest, and we believe that specifically means when we are in the promised land, living under his blessings of the former and latter rains, etc. Then we let that land rest, and why we believe this is for another program. But anyway, we are always to choose to forgive debts and send bondservants free in the seventh year, or as Yeshua instructed, just be generous as you are able to those in need, expecting nothing in return. Then if they are able to pay you back, great. They will surely be blessed for paying you back. But if they are not able to pay you back, don't be disappointed. Just chalk it off as a gift to Yahweh. By extension, we also believe we should forgive the trespasses of anyone who has harmed us in any way, whether they have repented, a form of payment, or not, if we haven't already forgiven them prior to the end of the Shemitah. Perhaps we should each search our hearts and minds during this 40 days of repentance leading to Yom Kippur and see if there is anyone we can release in any form whatsoever, whether from a debt of money or a debt of trespass against us. We can then start this next year, the year of Jubilee, with a clean slate by not only repenting ourselves and being released from our debt of sin to Yahweh by Yeshua, but also forgiving and releasing everyone else. How awesome is that? Next, we're going to look at scripture that pertains to the year of Jubilee. And I know we're not going to get finished with the year of Jubilee before we run out of time today, so it will be continued in next week's program as well. Leviticus 25 is the chapter that talks about the Jubilee, and we're going to start in verse 1, which starts with the Shemitah, actually. And Yahweh spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you. For you, your male and your female servants, your hired man and the stranger who dwells with you. For your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its produce shall be for food. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Of course, that 7 times 7 is 49. Then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy to you, you shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And that was through verse 13, and I'm going to have to stop there for today because we're out of time. But that is a good little introduction to the year of Jubilee. I've talked about this in past programs. Actually, the year of Jubilee on Yom Kippur is the only time where we are actually commanded in Scripture to blow a shofar. All of the other times, referring to the Feast of Trumpets, is actually to teruah, or make a joyful noise or sounding alarm. But here, in Leviticus 25, we are actually commanded to blow the shofar. And I'm going to show you the Hebrew words behind all of these words for shofar, trumpet, and jubilee in Leviticus 25 next week as well. And then we'll take an in-depth look into the year of Jubilee and what significance it may have for us if indeed this year coming up, starting with these fall feasts, is indeed the Jubilee year. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.